The Nonprofit Happy Hour is a weekly look at Portland's nonprofits and do-gooders with interviews, music, and documentaries. You're listening to the Nonprofit Happy Hour on X-Ray FM, brought to you by the Media Institute for Social Change, a public interest media lab that works to inspire, empower, and engage emerging media producers. Learn more online at mediamakingchange.org. This week on the Nonprofit Happy Hour, we're spotlighting Green Lens and their mission to cultivate a thriving, resilient, and environmentally just community in the Lens neighborhood. On April 15th, join Green Lens and their partners, Symbiop Garden Shop, Twinflower Natives Nursery, and Urban Village Design, LLC, to add to and improve the pollinator habitat of the Malden Court Community Orchard. April 15th, 9 a.m. to 12 p.m., just south of the intersection of Southeast 87th Ave and Flavelle Street. All are welcome, tools will be provided.
This is Phil Bussey. It's the Nonprofit Happy Hour on X-Ray FM. As part of our lead up to Earth Day, we've been talking with various community leaders. Dasha Forster joins us. She's the community director for Green Lens. How are you?
Great. Thank you for having us.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's start with describing Lens, the neighborhood. Where is it? Just remind people, what is it? What are the challenges and what are the spectacular parts of it?
Yeah, Lens is a neighborhood in Southeast Portland. It stretches between, it stretches east of 82nd Avenue. It lays on both sides of I-205 Interstate. It is, it goes as far north as Powell Boulevard, and then kind of is tracking the Springwater Corridor Trail. And it's a very lovely community. Lens is a, by the standards of investments into the neighborhood and the history of the development, is an under-resourced community. The fact that the interstate was laid right in the middle of it has impacted the community significantly. The east and west parts of Lens do not look the same. They develop differently, but they both have a very strong community sense and a very engaged community. And Green Lens is an kind of a testimony to that. It's a community-based organization that was spearheaded by neighbors to galvanize around certain issues and certain action points and projects, and has been going strong since 2012.
Yeah, you have there's a real dichotomy out there because, I mean, you mentioned a few things. You mentioned, you know, the 205, you mentioned 82nd or east of 82nd, but then you also mentioned the Springwater Trail, and you know, and I'd say, you know, for my city parks and rec money, Lens Park is one of the nicest out there. You know, I mean, there's some really wonderful green spaces and activities, but there's also some real challenges in terms of the built environment. And I'd imagine that Green Lens feels that pinch.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, the recent investments of the past few decades into the green infrastructure have been significant and indeed felt. The Lens Park continues getting investments through different projects, the play area, the nature patch, the community garden that's established there. And saying at the same time, there are places and spaces in Lens where it's up to the community to improve. It feels like the general consensus is that there will be some investments, and the community needs to also continue kind of galvanizing and organizing to bring other livability issues to the front. Otherwise, they may be kind of on the back burner and simmering for a long time. So this is why Greenlands has been a good partner to neighbors in the community, because part of a lot of work that Greenlands has accomplished over the past decade has been community listening, walking together, taking note together of the livability conditions of the streets, of the green spaces. Having great green spaces is only one part of feeling safe and welcome and enjoying where you live in your neighborhood, I'm sorry, just because sometimes getting to those spaces and a lot of times in lands just doesn't feel safe, and connecting the dots isn't always easy, especially if you live on the opposite sides of I-205. That lands park can feel like a very big stretch away and is not always reachable.
Yeah, well, let's roll the clock back a little bit, and I mean you've laid out some of the reasons why Greenlands is necessary. But talk to me a little bit about the origin story, about how it came about. It's a bit more than a decade old, is that right?
Yes, it started as a Greenlands watershed team. A group of neighbors came together in 2012. They launched this project, was called Community Watershed Health Project. The watershed is the Johnson Creek watershed, and Lens is a part of it. And the project was meant to encourage local stewardship of green infrastructure, personal action to increase the health of the watershed. And a lot, again, true to its origins, true to its current work, Greenlands has done a lot of door-to-door listening, engaging of the community members in different languages, and building awareness about the watershed health and creating a network for peer support. And one of the projects that kind of flowed, came forward from that is the Molden Court Community Orchard. That's the current name of this project. It's a food forest that's established. It was established in 2015. It was a space that was a combination of a very strong pollinator habitat network with fruit bearing and berry bearing plants. And that was established. So the intersections of 87th Avenue and Flavelle, just south of that, adjacent to the Springwater Corridor Trail. It's it's been thriving ever since. It attracts pollinators, it stewards the watershed through the water filtering, and it's also provides abundance crops these days of fruit and berries. That's one of the...
I mean, so a certain push of Greenlands is really to make this a vibrant growing area. And obviously, pollinators have been an important part of that. But there's also, can you talk a little bit about GardenAid, what that means, and why is it important that not just that there's green spaces and activities and access, but that there's things that are growing?
Yes. So, yes, to answer that question, I would kind of just fast forward a little bit to today and what Greenlands stands for in 2023. Since then, since a number of projects for the watershed health took place, Greenlands has also continued to develop the culture and the community energy around sharing economy and also reuse, recycle, but foremost reduce mentality, and kind of galvanizing community members around these shared vision and shared mission for thriving, resilient, and environmentally just community. So today's Greenlands mission is, in fact, that to cultivate a thriving, resilient, environmentally just lands community through engagement, education, and collective action. And so what the body of the programs that we currently embrace are the Community Tool Library and Resource Hub, the GardenAid that's been established on its basis, the Molden Court Community Orchard that's been mentioned earlier, youth internships, planting pollinator habitats and expanding green canopies, and also continuing to engage in community listening, organizing for livability. And so why it is important to continue cultivating community is because in order to accomplish staying together and connected through the hard times, and also in order to continue identifying improvement points and moving somewhere to better outcomes together, you have to continue engaging and continue finding common points around things that the neighbors and partners can do together. And only in such way we found that we could build a volunteer engagement sufficient and significant enough to not only steward the existing programs and assets, but also continue coming up with, continue identifying areas where we need to go next. And this strategy seems to have been proven very successful, because during the pandemic, we found the other possibility of the community that is less engaged because there are factors beyond our control, and how things can really crumble fast unless you have somebody ongoingly supporting the initiatives and programs.
Yeah, I mean, in some ways, you're trying to grow neighbors.
Yes. Yes, that's exactly right. But not grow them from, you know, zero up. People are already resourceful. People are already engaged in their own ways. They already have a lot to offer. They already are mingling in different spaces and forums. It's just being able to connect everyone and magnify what people are already interested in and want to do together and learn together.
Talk to me a little bit about the tool library. Who's showing up to get tools, and what's the most popular tool that gets checked out?
Yeah, so showing up, last year we actually saw a groundbreaking or record-breaking 1,400 visits. The membership base of the tool library has climbed over 2,000 neighbors. The service area has been expanded. It used to be Lens and adjacent neighborhoods, but currently it's 11 neighborhoods around Lens. Basically, out of at that, when we expanded, that was because of the lack of the tool library or such resource east of 205. But there's good progress done in that. There's going to be a library open up soon east of 205. But yeah, the tool library is a vibrant space. Last year, there has been 845 hours, volunteer hours recorded in that resource alone, and the, you know, other volunteer times across the projects tipping over 1,000 hours for 2022 for us. And we've seen 70 plus volunteers, amazing neighbors who are just willing to come. We gather for community nights. We kind of identify, people are driven to engage, and they already know they want to support the library, either in some initiatives that they could contribute to or in volunteering their time. So when they come to the community building nights, we connect them to the training subsequently, to like orientation. And then people come and open the library twice a week on Wednesday nights, 6 p.m. till 8 p.m. and on Saturday mornings for a longer shift from 10 a.m. till 1 p.m. And I will just make a remark that the staff is engaged on the cultivating community. And so far, we haven't had a need to staff the shifts, which is where really the value of this community movement is, where people are just stewarding this amazing resource and feel ownership of it.
Is it shovels? Is it what can somebody get there? What's the most exotic tool somebody could find there?
Exotic tools. We've had a couple of community nights where we've scouted the library, we've scouted the inventory, we've ran out there in little teams and found the most bizarre tools that we could find. To this day, the images of some bizarre tools stand in my mind without the name, because I'm not very big tool master. But the selection is extremely diverse, from culinary editions of canning pots to sewing machine. And then the majority bulk is definitely the home repair, home maintenance tools like plumbing, roofing, repairs, auto repairs, bike repairs, bicycle repairs. The only condition is that they are not gasoline power tools. And yeah, and other than that, we have a very good inventory that people can check on the website, on our website. And you know, if a tool exists, then it'll pop up as available. And yeah, extremely interesting things. Like I said, I wish I could. There is a tool that holds the ceiling up as you do drywalling. That's the one that's really bulky, very interesting looking. And I would say that's, for me, that was a really interesting addition.
We're going to take a quick musical break here. This is the Nonprofit Happy Hour on X-Ray FM as part of our lead up to Earth Day, talking with various organizations around the city and the area that are doing good work. Dasha Forster is the community director for Green Lens. How about let's listen to some Joni Mitchell, Big Yellow Taxi. Seems like that tension out there between pavement and nature is a good theme for us to ponder for a second.
They paved paradise, put up a parking lot. With a pink hotel, a boutique, and a swinging hot spot. Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone? They paved paradise, put up a parking lot. They took all the trees, put them in a tree museum. And they charged the people a dollar and a half just to see them. Seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone. They paved paradise, put up a parking lot. Hey, farmer, farmer, put away the DDT now. Give me spots on my apples, but leave me the birds and the bees. Please don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone. They paved paradise, put up a parking lot. Late last night, I heard the screen door slam. And a big yellow taxi took away my old man. Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone? They paved paradise, put up a parking lot. I said, don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone? They paved paradise, put up a parking lot. They paved paradise, put up a parking lot. A parking lot.
This is the Nonprofit Happy Hour. I'm Phil Bussey. I'm talking to Dasha Forster, the community director for Green Lens. Now, you're doing really wonderful right at the ground level work. I want to talk a little bit about where you're coming from, because groundwork, you come from aviation and aerospace.
Oh yeah, that was my initial career. I come from Ukraine originally. My origins in aviation have been connected to the flight academy in my hometown in the central Ukraine. When I came to the United States, that was my career path. Worked in an airline and then kind of like operations. Have had a very exciting, aviation is a very exciting industry. It's exhilarating. It makes you want to be out there, be connected globally. But at some point, I have started envisioning what it would be like to be working with the community, be serving the community. That's how I saw it that way. I just really wanted to be useful to people because of kind of being able to address their concerns and needs. And so I started developing myself in the fundraising roles and development, nonprofit development roles. And in Portland, Oregon, in our wonderful city, I have been training with the Willamette Valley development officers. And also my early engagement in the nonprofit world was volunteering and supporting the admin committee of the wonderful local nonprofit Urban Nature Partners, PDX. And then, at that point, I joined Greenlands in 2019 and was doing development work pre-pandemic and post-pandemic. I've been engaged more and more in grant writing and then programming as well. And this year, past year, my role of community director, it came both from sort of it internally being willing to do more programming work, but also externally, the need for kind of re-envisioning the structure of Greenlands and how it can continue serving the community, like increasing the footprint in the community, while also being mindful of the sustainability of the organization itself. And so this year, I'm really excited to just share out there that we are a team of two staff people. I have a very wonderful coworker, Angelica Cortez, who is our Latinx community advocate and organizer. And we have an amazing board that's been taking a lot of strategic training and other work to the next level. But mainly, my role has evolved to be a person everywhere at the same time, while truly thousands of people on the ground being able to do what we do together.
I'm going to just go back, if you don't mind, and talk a little bit about your Ukrainian background. I mean, obviously, just a devastating year in the Ukraine. But one of the themes that certainly has emerged is the resilience of communities there. And yeah, do you see that connection between the work you're doing and your Ukrainian DNA?
Yeah, I mean, the resilience, I think we all have it when we are put in the position when we have to act. And I think when the community is united over certain things, certain values, certain culture, then that's when it's the easiest to become resilient together. And this is why exactly I'm very excited about the work of Greenlands, because it is cultivating community around the vision for a greater neighborhood, for cleaner, more sustainable neighborhood. Cleaner not in the sense of just litter, but in the sense of air, in a sense of water, in a sense of consumption. And so when we see numbers like hundreds of people coming together, then it tells me that there is a strong spirit of wanting to do things a certain way. And that if there is a crisis, then the same community, the same people can really come together to help each other and support each other and respond. Yeah.
Basha Forrester is the community director for Greenlands. You guys are doing so much great work there with from the pollinator wall, community orchard, tool library, workshops. Thank you for taking the time to talk to us today on the Nonprofit Happy Hour.
Yeah, thank you so much for having us.
Nonprofit Happy Hour is made possible by Beneficial State Bank, a certified B Corp that holds to what it calls a triple bottom line of social justice, environmental well-being, and economic sustainability. If your organization or business is interested in underwriting our show, please email phil@mediamakingchange.org. The Nonprofit Happy Hour is a production of the Media Institute for Social Change and KXRY Radio, X-Ray FM. Our host is Phil Bussey. Our executive producer and editor is me, Carly Meisberger. Archives of past shows can be found on our SoundCloud page. Questions, comments, or ideas about the show can be sent to info@mediamakingchange.org. Thanks for tuning in.